Wait, here go my song.
Blog
That's why. Blog
Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That is our Shema. In other words, that would be like our credo to understand that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, a Kai. There is none other but him. There is no other most high but the most high, Ahaya Ashar, Ahaya, Ahaya Ashar, Ahaya, I should say, so that you understand the proper spelling of what I'm enunciating, that he is the one and only. Every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess. In the last time when they understand that the Most High, the one that's described in the book of Daniel, is the one and only true God that we give all praises to today here on the Shabbat. And I want to say Shabbat Shalom to my brothers and sisters all over this great earth, the scattered diaspora, those of you that have labored for the 6 days and on this seventh day, you're preparing to rest. I just want to say Kwam Yasha'ala, which means rise, Israel. Rise up, Israel. These bones will live again. We are reconnecting. We are waking up all over the earth. We're coming to understand. We've been asleep. We've been misunderstanding our captivity. We have not understood why, but now we're starting to know why. We're starting to have answers to our questions as the Most High, through the Ruach HaKadosh, begins to open our eyes, our spirit, and our souls, so that we understand why we are in this captivity and how we got here and how to come out. We're going to talk about some of that today. But first of all, let's go before the Most High in prayer on this Shabbat. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, set apart, Kodesh. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Everyone under the sound of my voice, Father, I pray right now that you'll give them strength, give them rest, give them peace. Help them to press on. Let them be rejuvenated. Let them be encouraged. Let them be exhorted as we exalt you and praise you. May they find a praise in their hearts. Many are in a bad state, so may they be like King Dawood and say, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white as snow. Renew in me a right spirit and restore the joy of my salvation. Father, give them strength. We thank you that we have the ability to stand in the authority that allows us to rebuke the enemy and to resist him, and he'll have to flee because we're made victorious in you. And that Isaiah 54 says that no weapon formed against us can prosper. So we stand after we've done all we can to stand. May my brothers and sisters all over this earth be strengthened, be made alive, be shook, be made whole. Strengthen their preaching, their teaching, and their prophesying into the wind. We come against false prophets and those in divination and those that speak lies and those that speak false dreams that put our people back to sleep and keep them in the grave. May the truth come forth, the truth that is the light, which is your son, Yeshua HaMashiach. May he come forth and shed light. You want to come back and find faith in the earth, faith comes by hearing the word. And the word is your commandments, statutes, and laws. May it go forth on this day all over this great diaspora. I rebuke all this discord. And may we come into the peace. Blessed be the ties that bind us. This is what I pray in the name of your dear son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Father, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I am the Elder Pastor V. This is At Last Ministries, House of Israel Deliverance Assembly. We come to you on the Shabbat, talk about the statutes, laws, and commandments. 1 John 2 and 3 says, we hereby know that we know him if we keep his commandments. What does that say? First of all, the brother John said, John, the Revelator, Apostle Yochanan, said that if you're not keeping the commandments, you don't even know him. So for anybody that's going to a church that's telling you that the commandments are done away with, you need to get your stuff, get your bag, and hit the dump and never walk back up in there again. Because those preachers that preach those lies and tell you those lies will send you straight to hell, and you will not make it. The commandments were never done away with. Because it goes on to say after 1 John 2 and 3, it says, and them that love him will keep his commandments. It says this, listen, if you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. 1 John 2, 3, and 4. If you say you love him and you don't keep his commandments, this is New Testament, okay? If you say you love him and you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Who's the father of liars? Satan. That's where lies came from. So those of you perpetrate a lie and that live in the midst of a lie and want to say that I don't have to keep this, you are a liar. But do we have grace? Yes, we have grace because our brother Yeshua HaMashiach hung from a tree. And the scripture said, cursed is every man that hangs from a tree. What curse did he take on? Well, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. And what was the curse? Death. When you could not keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, you were put to death. You were stoned. You were stoned for your adultery. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Everything in 1 Corinthians 6, you'll find out what you were put to death for. You were stoned for your adultery, fornication, your effeminate ways. You know what I'm talking about, you happy boys. Your effeminate ways and everything else that you were into, your lies. You were killed back in the day for that. But because he redeemed us from the curse of the law, you will not be put to death. That does not mean that the commandments are eradicated. It means that you have grace to go back and try it again and do it again and get it right. Because 1 John 3:4 tells us that sin is transgression of the law. Whoever sinneth transgresseth the law, for sin is transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. So if you're going to run around here telling people you know him, understand me today that 1 John 2:3 says that you know him if you're keeping the commandments. Why? Because the commandments cause you to conform to a lifestyle that's Kodesh, which is Hebrew for set apart, which is what you used to call holiness, which you learned back in the day that holiness without no man shall see the Most High. So what does holiness do? And what is Kodesh? What is sanctification? It's set apart. It's what separates you from the masses. It's what separates you from the world. It's what causes you to be different. It's what causes you to have a mark. So in other words, if we were to do a quick summation, keeping the commandments puts a mark on you that sanctifies you, causes you to be different, calls you out of the world. Don't let no man tell you that the commandments, statutes, and laws were done away with. Let's take a look at the Ten Commandments real quick, and let's go over them before we go into the lesson. We have a two-part lesson today that we're going to go into. And the first part will be, can we actually find justice in captivity? That's the question. And then the next part, we'll be going over the book of Ecclesiasticus, which is in the Apocrypha, which was taken out of the original KJV 1611 Bible by the Puritans and the Jesuit Jews and the Catholics that tried to hide our records from us. Because we must remember, when we talk about the Bible, we talk about scrolls that were compiled. So these are certain scrolls that they tried to take away from us so that we wouldn't come into the knowledge of the truth. But you cannot keep a man asleep. At some point, he's got to wake up. So we will go into Ecclesiasticus, the 44, just as a reading, not necessarily in that order. And let's get back to the commandments, because this show, as I mentioned, or this lesson, every Shabbat is designed to stay away from current events, because I know what's in the news right now. Politics, policies, it's not designed for that. Acts, the 13th chapter, the disciples would always get together and go to the synagogue to hear the reading of the scrolls so that they could remember the 613 laws. And then towards the end of the reading, they would normally call up one of the apostles or one of the visitors to begin to encourage and exhort the people. And that's what this lesson is designed to do, to go over the laws, give you a lesson, exhort you, and encourage you. You go through enough, and today is your day of refreshing. This is our day of worship, too, which is why we always start with a song. Scripture says, come before his presence with singing and thanksgiving, which is why we do have music. So I don't want to hear, like, all this stuff, is it this Hebrew or is it this kind of music? It's whatever's going to be uplifting to your soul to encourage you and bring you into his presence, so that you can have peace in your soul. So we're going to start with the reading of the laws, and I just want to start with the Ten Commandments, which is the condensation of the 613, to kind of help summarize the 613 laws that were condensed by the Mosaic law into 10, later by Christ into 2. So the Ten Commandments, as we know, were based upon Exodus, the 20th chapter. And Exodus 20:1 says, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That would be number one. Verse number 4, ye shall not make for yourself any image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. That would be number two. Number three would be, verse 5 would be the third commandment. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Most High, and I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. And the fourth one would be in verse 6, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. I take that back. Number 4 would be verse 7, which says, you shall not misuse the name of the Most High. For the Most High will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. That means do not take his name in vain. the fourth commandment, the fourth commandment would actually be verse 8, because I know that the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. 6 days shall ye labor, so you are allowed 6 days to work, to do whatever it is you have to work, do at work. If you have to work for this society and then you got your own business, well, on the 6 days when you work your own business and you try to do some other gardening, housework, whatever it may be. This is serious stuff, people. Let me pause for a second. It is so easy to get caught up that they're going to the malls, catching all the sales on the Shabbat. It is so easy to try to do work in the yard on the Shabbat. It is so easy to try to catch up, clean the house on the Shabbat. It's not how it goes. You actually are supposed to take care of everything on that Friday evening before the sun has completely gone down. And actually, wisdom would have you to begin to prepare midweek for the Shabbat, to begin getting the house together, the food together, so that it's not such an arduous task. And the reason I say that is because he said his commandments are not grievous towards us. So the Shabbat should be a time of celebration as far as relaxation. And I don't want you to cause it or create it to be an arduous task or something that's laborious, or, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. You know, if you don't get it all together, then just kick back in the house and relax, but make sure you worship, you listen, you study. But pull out of the society. If we could bring the multitude of Israel and all of the tribes to pull out of society on the Shabbat, these Gentiles, these Edomites and Esau, they would notice a dent in their economy. And they'd begin to scratch their heads and try to figure out why there's a dent in the economy and why these stores aren't full on the Shabbat. And it'd be because we're keeping the proper holy day, not the day that the Catholic Church has determined. Because, see, everybody shuts down on Sunday for the most part. They just started opening up stores again. But you go to parts of the Bible Belt down south, the liquor stores are closed on Sunday, etc. It just goes on. And they're trying to push everybody into understanding and accepting the first day as being the seventh day, the Sabbath, and that's not the truth. They're pushing and promoting a lie. So they will support the lie, even if it's in the event of getting people to go and hear about Christianity, hear about Christ, but they'll support it because it takes you away from the laws and commandments, which is the seventh day. Back in the 1800s, the Catholic instituted that it was a law. So it's not being enforced right now. So we keep the commandments by honoring what the Father set in cycle and motion precedence in Genesis, where after the 6 days of creation on the seventh day, he rested. And that's what he wants you to do. So verse 10 says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Most High. On it you shall do no work, neither of you, nor your son, your daughter, your servants. That means you don't make nobody work for you. When it says servants, a lot of y'all don't have servants, but you love going to the restaurants and telling the waiter and waitress what to get you and what to do. You're not to even go do that. You're not to go places where you're asking people to do things for you as well. So we're not spending money, not going to the marketplace. We're not making people work. We're not hiring a gardener to cut our lawn for us on Saturday because we can't do it because it's a Sabbath. That's twisted. So these are things you need to begin to understand. It says, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. So, you know, don't press yourself. Relax yourself. There's even scientific merit to, as far as physiology is concerned, to resting on the seventh day. Your body needs to rejuvenate itself because you've pressed it for 6 days. You've made it get up. You've given it all this caffeine to give it a false high, to push it, to go to work. You've pushed yourself to get through all the commute and everything you do, whether it's driving, walking. Rest your body so that you can be prepared for everything that this world and the Most High has for you, so you can continue and you can fight. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Verse number 12, honor your father and your mother. Kids are really missing that one. So that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. A lot of them say, I'm blessed if I live to be 25. They tell them they're going to get shot, but they know that they realize that some of them are saying they're blessed to live to be 25 because there's so many of them are dishonoring their mother and father. They treat their mother and father like they're friends, they're partners. And the reason being is the parents set it up that way. And the parents don't realize that they've set their children up for a fall by trying to kick it with their children, smoking weed and going out with their children and trying to be about it with their children and know all the words, all the lingo and all the haps, and your children tell you, oh, you old. You're supposed to be like, dang right, I'm old. I'm old enough to whoop your behind. So in other words, we keep the boundaries. Then we don't have boundaries no more. They've all been erased between our kids. They've all been erased, and we set our children up for a fall because they don't understand the honor that is supposed to go to your parents. And what that honor does is it sets a precedence for how they look at the Most High and how they worship him, because they see him like on a level as their parent, somebody they look up to and call upon. So we need those boundaries to come back as far as honoring our parents. And if you're 50 years old and got 70 and 80 year old parents, it's applicable to you too. It happens. Even if you don't like what they're doing, how they're living, what's transpired in the past, this is something that the Most High set in place that you must honor. And this is so you can live long. You wonder why these kids are dropping dead, or you wonder why you're sick because you're angry with your parents. It's probably why you got cancer, heartache, high blood pressure. You're still mad at mom and daddy from something that happened 20, 25, 35 years ago. You need deliverance. That's why you listen to the House of Israel Deliverance Assembly. You need to be set free and let that go. Let it go. If Joshua could do it, if Joseph could do it, that's what I meant to say. If Joseph can do it when his own brothers sold him into slavery and he didn't see his family for years and he was able to let it go and forgive them, and surely you can let some stuff go and be forgiven, because they left him for dead and then he turned around and was able to bless them and he was still able to let it go. It's something you need to think about. Let it go. Let me continue with these. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Whoa. It's amazing. I'm going to get into justice in captivity. The question, but you've got a black man shoot a black man down every day, almost every hour, every 2 hours, and ain't nobody marching. I've seen it with my own eyes, unfortunately. I've seen it with my own eyes, unfortunately, and don't nobody care. It's happening in all of our cities. We need to come back to the commandments, and you want to say that this is done away with? Because you're not teaching it that. Teaching our children that they shouldn't seek to kill each other to solve their problems. That should be done away with. Self-love, not self-hate. You should see that black man and realize he's your brother. See that sister, realize she's your brother. Murder, period. I don't care what race it's in. He said, you shall not murder. Number 14, you shall not commit adultery. Once you're married, it's a done data. So you better get married to the one that you want to be with, the one that you want to be with and be with that way for a long time, because adultery is a sin. 15, you shall not steal. Put your sticky fingers in your pockets. And as far as stealing out of a store, no, it goes beyond that. I'll let you put it in context. There's a lot of ways that people are stealing these days as it pertains to from their companies, their jobs, from their stocks. There's a lot of ways to steal. Stealing things or people from people. Those things just aren't right. So the Most High and through the Ruach can deal with you. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Pretty much, let me sum that up in a way that you better understand, because it means false witness or to bear false witness. It's gossiping. And the number one thing in America now, even what's getting all these people in trouble, TMZ, that show. The whole show is designed around gossip. Wendy Williams, gossip. Talk shows, gossip. The whole world is given to gossip. And it's for a purpose. It's a reason. It's designed by Satan to get everybody caught up and entrapped into just talking about everybody. And it's all hearsay with no truth because it falls in line with bearing false witness. You need to understand, brothers and sisters, this whole thing is to try to get you to break the commandments so he can win by default. He can win by default if we break God's commandments and laws and we're disobedient, then we desecrate ourselves and we're not within the morality that comes within the blueprint for life. So he is constantly around about doing things to get people to break these statutes, these laws, and these commandments. I'm going to stop right there because I wanted to go into one of the 613 that you don't always hear about and talk about. I'm just going to do one today. And the reason we like to go into these is because we like to bring in the relevance of how they're applicable today to today's times. Now, all 613 do not apply to us because we don't have the temple over here. We don't have to do sacrifices anymore. We don't have to have certain rituals. Some apply to men. Some apply to women. The things that apply to women, talking about when they were on their monthly flowers. Isaiah called it flowers. We know it as cycle. But back in those times when they were on that, they were to be put out the camp for miles and to stay out there for 7 days. That's not applicable anymore. We can't put them out. We'd like to. No, I'm just kidding. We can't put them out any longer. So what we do is they have all types of things they've come up with where they're able to take care of themselves, to keep themselves clean, and that's not applicable anymore. We keep them around, and so one of my whole point is that there's so many things within the 613 that aren't applicable, so we just conform to the Ten Commandments now. So let's take a look at this one that I want to look at today that says that we must fear the Most High with reverence. And the reason I'm going to bring that up is because fear is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the scripture says. Fear will save your behind. Fearing the Most High. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be politically correct today. I'm not trying to be somebody that went to Oral Roberts University that has a theology degree and all that stuff. I have a neology degree. I stay on my knees in prayer before the Most High. Fear is the beginning of wisdom because the reason you are willing to do a lot of things is because you don't fear the Most High. The reason you fall so easily because you don't fear the Most High. Most people I know have not had a real experience with the Most High, so they do things. They'll lie at the drop of a dime. They'll commit adultery at the drop of a dime. They have not witnessed his hand of judgment. They have no fear. They do not realize that they can die in the midst of their sin. Nobody has been stricken with some venereal disease, which is why they keep tipping, but the moment they get struck with a venereal disease and they're allowed to live, that's if they're allowed to live, then they think twice. So there is no fear anymore, which is why people are quick to break these commandments, which is transgression of the law, which is sin. Now, when you begin to fear the Most High with reverence, let's look at Deuteronomy 6 and 13. Deuteronomy 6 and 13. Deuteronomy 6 and 13 says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name." Deuteronomy 10 and 20 just kind of further solidifies that. It says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name." This felt within the 600 commandments, and I wanted to dwell on this because, let me stop for a second. I think the Elder Andre spoke on this last week for a second, and I want to thank my brother for doing the lesson last week. And, you know, he's a part of this family, a part of this show, and he also has a lot of external ministries and things he does, but he'll come on from time to time. But wonderful show, Thawada. I want to thank him again for being on. I'm sorry I didn't take the time. It almost slipped my mind, but I just remembered because I know he touched on this last week. And so I want to continue with that. And he'll be back with us. He's always here with us. He's always here with us in spirit and physically. And so he'll be back with us. So I just wanted to pause and thank him real quick. He spoke on this. And the reason we speak on this so much is because fear will constrain you. When you have fear, it means respect. Reverence, the word reverence, is to have a deep, respectful feeling. It's deep, like, I deeply respect you. Now, you know, there's some people you'd be like, I don't have no respect for you because you've seen them do something. You see how they live. They don't carry themselves right. But, you know, when you see somebody that you know that it is like has this right character, they're trustworthy. They've been heralded for the things that they've done in the past. Their track record speaks for them. You'll look up and say, wow, I got a lot of respect for you. This is what the Most High needs for you to have when it comes to fearing him. He doesn't want you like so afraid, like, like scared. But I will tell you this, that when Moses received the commandments and the Most High spoke through a dark cloud, the children of Israel said, you talk to him. We don't want nothing to do with him. We don't want nothing to do with the Most High, because they were in awe and fear with respect. They were like, we want to talk to you, Moses. You talk to him, and then you talk to us, because they were comfortable with him, but they were in fear of the dark cloud, the lightnings, and the thunder, and his roaring voice. They were in awe of the Most High, Ahaya. They knew that this was the man that was laying down the law of how we're to conduct our lives. And so it's sad that most people will break the commandments and just say, whatever, I got away with it, or nothing happened, because they don't really believe in the Most High. And they have not had an experience with the Most High, an experience of judgment, or an experience of love. Experiences with the Most High are transformative. They transform you. Let's not forget that when Moses went before the Most High and his presence, he came back with the glory of the Most High shining on his face, and his entire hair had turned gray. This is why a lot of people ask, when we hear about the description of Christ the Son, say, why is his hair gray and white like lamb's wool and all that? The same thing happened with Moses, if you think about it. His hair, once he was in the presence of the Most High, his hair turned white like lamb's wool, and it was woolly. But let's not forget also that the description of the Most High, a lot of people don't realize this, there's a description of the Most High as given by Daniel that tells us, let me go there real quick, go to Daniel 7 and 9. People say that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He has no physicality. No, he does. He does. If he said in Genesis, let us make man in our image. Okay, so image means you standing in the mirror and you see your image. That means that there is a prototype. There is the original. There's the composite, the negative, the image. So he's not just a spirit, something just floating in mid. No, there's physicality to God, who you call God, who's the Most High. And he's described in Daniel 7 and 9. And you know why you don't never hear about this? Because they don't want you to know what these people look like. What does it matter? No, it does matter. It does matter. The fact of the matter is that you say what does it matter is because you want to perpetrate a lie upon the people and keep them caught up into believing that he is the depiction that was given to us by Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, those people who painted the Sistine Chapel and gave us this false image of the beast, of this cat with stringy hair and blue eyes. Now, I'm not pushing some type of racism. I'm preaching truth, because the people that are downtrodden, desecrated, and oppressed are the ones that look like him. And if they knew this, they'd be elevated, and we could level the playing field. And that's why the playing field is not level, because they've been taught to feel inferior, is what I want to say, and made to feel that, you know, they're less than. And that is all psychology. Daniel 7 and 9 says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, that being the Most High, that was another thing he was considered as, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. He was in a chariot on a throne. His hair was like wool, and he had on a white vesture. This just described the Most High. And most people don't even want to really talk about that or go into that. And he is the one who has a physicality as well. And he must be reverenced and respected. Brothers and sisters, don't break these commandments and think you're just going to get away with it. Don't just keep sinning and think you're going to get away with it. Christ had to come back and heal people. It may be short term, it may be long term, it may be down the line, but you're going to pay a price. Now, he does have grace and mercy, but let me even tell you this. When David sinned, man, that cat would take his throne off, take his royal garments off, and he would put on sackcloth and ashes and fast for 3 or 4 days, begging the Most High to forgive him. See, he knew he messed up. The slightest little sin, he knew he messed up. And he would beg. He would break his own self down. He said, I'm going to break myself before the Most High breaks me and ask for forgiveness. Even when he stole that man's wife, Bathsheba, had sex with her, which was adultery, killed her husband, which was murder, he took off all his clothes, sackcloth and ashes, because the prophet told him, you messed up. You took a man's life. You took his wife and got his wife pregnant. The Most High gonna kill you. He's like, oh my God. Some of y'all would be like, hey, it do what it do. You know that's how some of y'all living today. That's just how, hey, you know, my bad. Nah, that's what the world got you saying. My bad. Really? Ah. And that's just how messed up we are today. We take sin just like, he'll forgive me. We abuse grace. We take advantage of it. But David knew, so he got on his knees. And guess what? Unfortunately, this time around, the child was taken. She lost the child. He did forgive him. He gave him a second chance, and he gave Bathsheba a second chance. And they got married. And the next child they produced was Solomon. I think the only reason that they saw that grace is because of what he did. But they still had to pay a price. They lost that baby. That baby that was conceived in sin, it couldn't be born. It was put in the balance. It was weighing in the balance because it was conceived in sin. So come on, the Most High is a just God. So he has to do right. You're not going to just let them have that baby, that child. And they conceived in sin, sneaking, creeping, tipping. No. So there's a lot to learn from that lesson as far as don't just break the commandments. Don't just sin and think it's okay, because it's not. It's not. Don't sit up here and just tell a lie and think it's okay, because it's not. Don't just sit up here and dishonor your mother and father and think it's okay, because it's not. I'll say this, that at times when I maybe have not spoke with parents because I was upset, I can't say things were always that peaceful until I got it right, and then I was able to sleep better. Unfortunately, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but there's a scripture that speaks to that, that when you dishonor your parents, that rest won't be there, which is why our kids, another reason our kids are in that capacity. Don't just get caught up in gossiping, which is bearing false witness against your brother and sister and think it's going to be okay, because it's not going to be okay. Brothers and sisters, I'm keeping this relevant for right now. We're going to get into a lesson in a second. But I'm trying to get you to understand these commandments and laws, which is what this is all about. Don't just keep breaking the laws, because that means you have not repented. To repent is to turn away from and not do it anymore. I implore you, because I don't want judgment to fall on you, because it will fall on you. He will spank you. He will smack you. It could come financially. It can come physically with your health. You know, you might wonder why you can't get ahead. And I'm trying to put the fear of God in you. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I want you to respect him with reverence. I want you to fear the Most High with reverence. I want you to have a deep respect for the Most High. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean you shouldn't respect him. I need you to respect the Most High in your life, because these laws are a blueprint for your life. This is how you conduct yourself. And as you find yourself doing this, you become set apart. You become different than everybody else that you are with. Even not keeping the Sabbath is breaking the commandments, and you will notice that there's problems in your life. Listen, we are under the curses of Deuteronomy 28. But for those who begin to wake up, they come into Isaiah 51, I want to say, Isaiah 51 and 1 John 2 and 1 John 3, where when you start keeping the commandments, you can ask him what you will and he'll listen. Isaiah 51 says, you can call upon me and I will answer. So you begin, when you begin to wake up and keep the commandments, you begin to come into a place of blessings again, where he'll begin to be a fence around you and begin to shower you with more blessings. It doesn't take you out of captivity. We will remain in captivity until Christ comes back, but you'll begin to see the peace of the Most High, the blessings of the Most High. And when I say blessings, I'm not talking about, you know, you're going to be living up on the hills and have the Benzes and all that. You know, if he does that for you, that's fine. The blessings I'm talking about is the biggest blessing in the world is to have your sanity, to have your peace of mind. And then after that is to have the wherewithal and the ability to be able to take care of yourself and your family and be able to pay your bills. That means he said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We got two parts more that we want to cover. So I want to take a brief break. I'll be right back. All praises to the Most High. Shabbat shalom. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by ARMS, House of Israel, Deliverance Assembly. At Last Ministries, I'm Elder V, Pastor V. And I should also tell you, welcome to the end of the Gentile rule, because it's vastly approaching. Signs of the times are all around us. We're watching Bible prophecy be fulfilled every day, almost every second. Unfortunately, a lot of you don't see prophecy being fulfilled because you're being thoroughly entertained. You got enough movies and television to watch and gossip to talk about that you're living in the matrix and you can't even really see the forest for the trees. You can't actually see what is transpiring in our life, and that's the way they designed it. Everything that you've read in the book of Revelations, the book of Daniel, and that Christ talked about in Matthew when the disciples asked him, how shall we know the end? It is all happening. This is the only book in the earth that is as prophetic and historical which is why they try to downplay it, which is why they try to water it down by giving you new versions every year. The woman's version, the gay version, the boy's Bible, the Girl Scout Bible. They just keep giving you a new version, but what they do is they keep pulling verses out. There's over 100,000 words taken out of the original manuscript and for the creation of the NIV, which is edited by a bunch of satanic, transgender, gay, witchcraft type people, and matter of fact, it's published by Zondervan, who is also the same publisher for the Satanic Bible. So you be careful about what you're reading and understanding, but I always like to come back to this, because when I talk about the Bible to people who read other books, they say, I don't read that Bible, but you need to understand that the Bible is a compilation of scrolls, and the scrolls are the depiction, the historical documents of the sojourn of a people that they want to tell you don't exist. But these people have been scattered and oppressed, but they are still alive and resilient and ever strong. So I want to welcome you back, and I thought we had time to get into two more different sections, but I just want to talk about before we go, because kind of got really into the time with the last topic, but I really want to cover this topic, which is the question that I asked. Can we find justice in captivity? All of our people since the 50s and 60s have been marching around protesting, marching around talking about injustices. We've been in slavery for 400 years. Yeah, you're still a slave. You go back in the archives and listen to one of the Straight No Chasers. Still a slave. We got some glorious slaves. They think they all that because they're driving Bentleys. They have a six-figure a year job. But you are still a slave. You don't even have freedom. But that's not my topic for right now. People are just livid about what is happening with the militarization of our police department, the injustices that are taking place all throughout Africa, what's happening in our communities. There are so many Michael Browns and Trayvon Martins on a daily basis. There's not enough time in this show to call out every name of some young man that's been shot down by a cop in the back, in the front, in the side, in the head, pulled over out of their car saying, you fit the description. It's happening all the time. Guess what? It was prophesied in the scriptures in Deuteronomy and in the book of Psalms 83. It told us that all these nations would conspire. They are in great tumult, and they've conspired against us. It's all throughout the scriptures. The question is, can we find justice while we're in captivity? Brothers and sisters, we are in our final captivity. We've been in captivity since the fall, 70 AD. We've been in captivity prior to 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. We read about it, you know, with the Maccabean brothers. We've been into Greek captivity, Medo-Persian captivity, Syrian captivity. It goes on. Now we're in the captivity, Babylonian captivity, and Babylon is America and the rest of the society, where we find Babylonian, the spirit of the daughter of Babylon, over in London, the UK, and every other place. We are in captivity. You have been given the illusion that you're free, but when they want to cave the walls in on you, they can. At any time, you could have tanks outside your door, or they could shut you down or take your freedoms. President Obama passed that law called the NDAA law, which is a law that says you can indefinitely be detained for questioning, not allowed a phone call, and they don't have to ever let you go. You could be falsely accused of crime because now we know you're guilty until proven innocent. I mean, you're charged. You're not innocent until proven guilty. That was back in the day. That's out now. You are immediately guilty, and you can be detained. So many of us are not posing a threat, but with cameras everywhere, with monitoring systems in your house, and you don't even realize it, They have all the information they need on you, and there's a dossier that's been put out on you, but you're not a threat. So you are in a grid that is inescapable. You can't even get out of this country without a passport that has a chip in it, without them being able to follow where you go and make sure that they want to let you out of this country. You are not free. You are in captivity. You've been given the illusion that you're free so that society can continue to be productive and you can continue to make money for them, pay your taxes, and be a part of the system because you are sheeple. That means you're worker ants. And you keep this productivity going. You are not free. You're marching for justice, but what justice are you going to find when justice comes from the Most High? And we're going to read that before I get ahead of myself. Let's go to 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. First Kings 8:47. Listen to this. Yet if they shall bethink themselves. Now, what I'm going to read is what the Most High was giving us as a solution while in captivity to better understand that you will be in captivity. Prophetically, he knew that. But he told us what it was going to take for us to come out of captivity. So 8:47 says, if they will bethink themselves, which means if they will remember, they will bring back to heart in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. Now let me stop at 47. That is us today. It's happened, as I mentioned, in many captivities, but we were carried here on cargo ships some 400 years ago as slaves. And we are in a land that was not originally ours. But we're like, oh, yeah, I'm African-American. This is where I was born. This is my homeland. Whatever. Your parents, your foreparents, they were brought here as slaves. And they built this entire country. And this whole country was built steeped in blood. There's blood in the land. This is not your homeland. People came to this land. They wanted to build this land. And they bought slaves here to build this land. And you were carried here captive. You were forced, and your wills were broken, and your spirits were broken, and you were forced to be here. And now the children of those children have automatically adapted to what has been created and has been put in place by design. And he's saying if you begin to remember while you're in this land. Now that's speaking. Now if I would have got into Ecclesiastes 44, you would understand how the seed of a generation, how the blessings and the curses proceed and progress and carry on. You begin to understand that. So you being the children of slaves, that same seed of them is in you, their thoughts, their memories. This stuff carries on. I can get scientific right now and talk about how melanin carries on the exploits of the past and how it's automatically remembered and then how it transcends through generations and it carries on. But nevertheless, let's remain spiritual with these commandments and understand that you are the children of slaves and we were all bought here under captivity. And he's telling us here in the book of Kings that wherever we're captive, if we will remember and while we're here, repent and begin to pray in the land where we've been carried captives and know that we have sinned. The reason we're here is because of the sins of Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. And we've done perversely. You've got to be broken enough to know you've done wrong. You have done wrong. This is not the way. The way is what he gave us. We are so off track as a people. And I'm talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. I ain't just talking about you black men in the ghetto. The 12 tribes have a lot of brown hue colors scattered all over the diaspora. Let me put it to you like this. You got some dark-skinned Koreans. You got some dark-skinned Filipinos. You got some dark-skinned Australians. You got some dark-skinned Fijians. I'm talking about you, that dark-complected man. You've been scattered. You've been mixed. So I'm not just talking about one tribe, the tribe of Judah, which is mostly what's in America. I'm talking about Benjamin, Levi, Manasseh, Ephraim, Asher, Gad, It goes on. I'm talking about all the tribes that are scattered. Wherever you're captive, if you will remember, verse 48, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies. Return with your whole heart and your soul while you're in the land of your enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward the land. You know what it's saying? Toward the land? It's saying to face east and to remember that you come from the motherland of Israel, which was known as Canaan in the Old Testament. And Canaan became Israel. If wherever you are, you would face east and begin to pray and repent. There were many times in the Word where before they prayed, they would always face to the east. Guess who's adapted those principles? Guess who stole those from us? The Quran, Islam. They do it now. We used to pray three times a day. Guess who does it now? Quran, Islam. We so far off. Daniel, when he was in the lion's den and he was getting ready to be eaten by the lions, he prayed three times a day, facing towards the east. And the Most High sent angels down and shut those lions' mouths. You might want to take a note. When you're in trouble, maybe you should pray three times a day and face towards the east. Let me go back to verse 48. And pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest their fathers. See, it makes it clear. The land which he gave the fathers. The land that was given to our forefathers. Our land is over there. It's been occupied by other people, but that's our land. Pray to that land. It's saying it here. The city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, the name of Jacob. Verse 49, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Verse 50, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all the transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. He wants to give you compassion before the ones that carried you captive. He wants to deliver you while you're in the hands of your captors. That's what's going to transpire when Christ comes back. And he takes us into the wilderness. We see that in the book of Nehemiah. We see that in many other books that tells us that he's going to deliver us and that he's going to gather us. I'm not with this. You got to get a bus ticket and a plane ticket and go to one place that's close to the region that says this is where he's going to pick us up at. No, 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 no. That means you're doing it. No, 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 no. I'm sorry. He said he would gather us. He scattered us. He will gather us. He didn't say, I'll gather you. The train's coming at 5 o'clock. You better be at this bus stop over here. No, he said, I took you there. I sent you there in captivity. I'm going to gather you there. Now, if there is going to be a region, guess what? He's going to be responsible for getting us to that region. I know you're saying, what scripture is that? I don't have time to go into it right now, but I give you an example. The angels came and got Sodom and Lot and led them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He led them out. He led them out before he destroyed it. So many of you are going to be led out of certain regions and certain areas before the destruction. But guess what? It's you who are keeping the commandments. You who love him. Not you who love this world and the ways of this world and want more of this world and don't want to keep the commandments and want to break them every day and want to break the Ten Commandments. No, not you. You won't be led to the region to be saved and gathered and taken into the wilderness while he destroys Babylon, America. No, not you. But those of you who are keeping these commandments and remaining faithful, not finding yourself lying and stealing and in adultery. No. Those of you who are remaining faithful will be led by the Ruach HaKadosh, by angels, into a region where you can be gathered, and he will put you in the wilderness while he takes care of business and destroys the foul and the unrighteous and the wicked of this earth. Now let me read what, let me give you a precept for 1 Kings 8 and 47. And that's 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And all of you should know it by heart. It backs this up. 2 Chronicles 8 and 14 says, 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Let's look at something else. Let's go to Jeremiah 50 and 7. Talking about justice in captivity. I want you to see something. That was a form of justice in captivity right there, but that's what you have to do in order to get it. Not march, not call Snake Sharpton, Reverend Jesse Scandal Jackson, Reverend Payoff Jackson. No. Jeremiah 50 and 7. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, we offend not, because they have sinned. Listen, I got to slow down on this because I want you to really hear this. This is talking about Babylon. It says, all that found them have devoured them. Who are the them? The them is us. The ones that found the 12 tribes, the scattered diaspora, the ones that have been cursed. It says, all that found them have devoured them. You want to know why we're being slain and devoured? There's people that are finding like, oh, here go those people that broke their God's commandments. Let me read the rest because I might get ahead of myself. It says, all that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we not doing nothing wrong. It says, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord. Listen to who the Lord is. They have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice. Even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Ah, man, Selah. Listen, first of all, I'm going to go backwards with that scripture. Our God is the habitation of justice. You won't see justice until you come to the Father, for justice lives in him. He is the habitation, the dwelling place of justice. It says our captors, this is why they're so evil, Esau, little Edomites. This is why they're so evil, because they know better than you know that you broke the commandments of your own God and that you're cursed. And they say, we're not doing nothing wrong. Guess what? They know that they've been given a green light by the Most High to handle you because you broke the laws and commandments of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Are they going to pay a price? Yeah, read the book of Obadiah. They're going to pay a price. Esau is going to pay a price for what he's done to his brother Jacob. But the fact of the matter is that they're saying, these people put their own self in this position. These people, they did it to themselves. Little man, he just filed. Little Pookie. Pookie off chain. Pookie stealing and doing this and all that. And we are so, man, we are an amazement, astonishment. We do some incredible things. Yeah, I'm talking about you with the green hair, pink hair, all y'all. You guys are an astonishment. It's because you're lost. You don't know who you are. Been robbed of your culture. And the reason we don't know who we are is because our forefathers have sinned and we're perpetrating the sins. We're carrying them on. We're sinning against the Most High, our God. We do not want to conform to these laws, because Pastor Porkchop is telling you, you don't have to keep these laws. Matter of fact, he got a pig sandwich festival after church. All y'all going to eat some ribs. He got y'all breaking the laws in his face. We going for a shrimp fry after church. And you're breaking the laws. It got y'all just breaking the laws with the foods, everything. Anything to get you to stay in this capacity and still be shot down in the streets, can't get the jobs, be discriminated against, be stalked on, be spit on, be discriminated against, not given the opportunities, not given the chances, not given the homes, not given nothing. You got to buy your clothes from them. You got to buy everything from them. You can't come up. You can't get your business going. You got to fight. Now, I don't want to discourage you, because some of you he's going to bless. But guess who are the ones he's going to bless? Not just the one that keep his commandments, the ones that know that the stuff he blesses you with is not your stuff, it's his, and it's for his kingdom and his people. He blesses for you to be a blessing to Israel. Meaning that don't think when he puts it in your hand, you can close your fists. Your hand's going to stay open. He needs people in the earth that he can utilize as a catalyst for change. And he's not going to utilize and use no one in that capacity until he knows he's got their heart, mind, body, soul, and desires. Let me go back to this verse 7 because this is blowing me away. You want justice? You ain't going to see justice. Put your picket sign down and stop marching for they gas your butt to death. They're going to keep gassing you, shooting at you, rubber bullets. More folks going to get shot. You will not see justice until you realize who is justice. It says that he is our habitation of justice. Sitting around here talking about no justice, no peace. My hands are up. You're going to get shot. Better put your hands down. And when he shoots you, he's going to say this. We offend not because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord who was the hope of their fathers. Go to Jeremiah 31 and 23 before we get ready to close out. That is a precept for that one, and it says, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, that is Ahaya of Yasha'ala, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, mountain of holiness. That is saying that when he restores us and returns us, he's saying that that's when you'll know justice. He is the habitation of justice. He is the mountain of holiness. He is our peace. We're not going to know justice until we come back to the laws. I commend you, brothers, that went down to all of those areas of so-called injustice and chaos and preached these commandments and these laws. And if you're listening to this show, or you can get somebody to listen to this particular lesson, pass this on. You preach it. You teach it. There will be no justice. There will be no peace outside of the Prince of Peace and the habitation of justice, which is Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya, which is Ahaya, our God, and Yesha, our Christ. That is our justice. That is our peace. And where do we find them? By coming to the commandments. I take you back to the beginning of the show. What is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. And when we keep the law, 1 John 2 and 3 says, hereby we know him if we keep his commandments. And if you say you love him and you don't keep his commandments, then you are a liar and the truth is not in you. 1 John 2 and 3, 4. This is Elder V, Pastor V. Yasha'al, and I just want to say that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, your Shabbat. Don't you go buy nothing. We love you. We praying for you. Be encouraged. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Shabbat shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
I'm gone. searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. You know, he